Part 4, Chapter 7, The Mystery of Progression. We have outlined for you how the light of the Holy Spirit enters the soul as the second ray of salvation, how the birth of the light of God can then be celebrated in the soul. We will now have to consider the birth of the light of God in the magnetic body of the school, for we should clearly understand that before the birth of the light can take place in the soul, it must first have taken place in the magnetic body of the school. Therefore, we repeat, not one pupil should think that he or she would be able to find this second radiation of salvation outside the body of the school. We are certainly not saying that the school is the only true ecclesia on earth, but we do want to insist that without a transfiguristic brotherhood, salvation cannot be realized. In one of the previous chapters, we were permitted to explain how such a brotherhood is formed and what steps the group must take before one can speak of a magnetic body. We also saw in these considerations how the brotherhood which preceded us on the path and which has already participated in the liberation was and is still rendering assistance in our task. And as we know, a universal, fundamental Gnostic radiation goes out to all of humanity. This radiation cannot do otherwise than to call and awaken without in any way interfering with the dialectical management of things and of men. This call does not affect you in your fundamental state of being. It sounds to everyone who is in inner need, who seeks liberation, who sends out a conscious cry of distress. The rose of the heart intercepts this cry of the consciousness like a sounding board, produces a resonance via the sternum, and receives the reply of the gnosis. This reply via the rose, the blood, and the nerve fluid penetrates as far as the fourth candelabrum in the head sanctuary, that is, if the blood allows it. For if the blood is too thick, it will not be possible to stir the fourth candelabrum. However, we can safely say that each rosebud carrier in the world, submerged as he or she might be, still possesses a glimmering, an intuitive knowledge of liberation. That is why there is such a manifold seeking in this world, such a continuous struggle to find the universal life. In practice, all this seeking shows itself in rather dubious ways, in fact, in highly abnormal and even very dangerous ways, linked as they are with reflection sphere activities. Yet the seeker goes the path of experience. With each negative experience and after each fatal blunder, this intuitive feeling that has been awakened and is maintained by the gnosis nevertheless remains present. The fundamental Gnostic radiation leaves no one alone. The secret of success depends on the fact that one not only seeks but also wants to build, that one does not do it for oneself, but preferably in the service of others. Service of mankind, love of mankind, these are the greatest principles of the Sermon on the Mount. The one who goes his or her way in the service of mankind, impelled by love, is already a man of the Beatitudes by virtue of his being. The only real way to arrive at self-surrender is in the service of man. Only by serving mankind can the I be put aside, rejected, and therefore purified. Only in the service of mankind can we go the path. When we can achieve self-surrender in the service of mankind, we are taken along in this current as a matter of course. The fact that the fundamental radiation calls you, that it may correspond to those cries of consciousness of the fourth candelabrum, the soul nucleus, does not mean that you have yet linked those Gnostic currents to yourself. It only results from an electromagnetic situation which is omnipresent. For if by virtue of your soul you sigh a thousand sighs, interacting with this, the Gnostic radiation reaches you with its awakening call, but you have not yet connected yourself with the Gnostic currents. Therefore, the great mystery is, how can a group of united seekers link that fundamental Gnostic stream to itself and divide it in such a way that the sevenfold power of the Holy Spirit is released? Only in its multiplicity is this power transfiguristically active. The fundamental force is only calling. A twofold directedness is necessary to be able to solve this mystery, a mystic magical and a philosophic magical one. These can be developed with the help of the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland has two lobes, an anterior and a posterior lobe. There is also a lobe in between, but it fulfills a subordinate role. The anterior lobe has a mental activity and is directly connected with the organs of intelligence in the head sanctuary. The posterior lobe has a sensory activity connected with the heart sanctuary. These two lobes of the pituitary gland have a bipolar relationship, and the polarization is different for men and women. A lobe which is positive in a man is negative in a woman, and so the sexes are in this respect, again, inversely polarized. Because of this twofold reverse polarization, a very powerful twofold magical development can come about in a group that includes both men and women. An enormous power can be produced. That which the pituitary gland of a man provides will be completed by the woman. A group to which both sexes are admitted will be able to provide for all the needs that depend on the functions of the pituitary gland. Both the mystic magical and the philosophic magical directedness must be continually applied. If one starts with group activity at a certain moment, then from that moment on, not a single interruption in the process is permitted. The advantage of a group is very clear. For instance, when a group of 100 serious pupils applies the twofold magical directedness, interruption is practically inconceivable. When they are continually careful not to allow the dynamics of the directedness to slacken, when a mental and mystical support and information constantly take place, then an uninterrupted vibration of the collective rose potentiality develops. In this way, a continuous touch by the fundamental Gnostic current takes place. We have already explained that the distress cry of the soul also emanates from the soul's center in the head sanctuary, where the pituitary gland is located. By such a distress cry, the rose of the heart begins to vibrate. Its resonance is propulsed via the sternum. A magnetic impulse emanates from the sternum, and the Gnostic reply returns, whenever this is possible, to the nucleus of the soul. Once the distress cry is transmitted, the reply is received. The desire emanates from man. The reply of the gnosis returns to the same point. As pupils of the school, we are continuously focused in our soul being upon the aim of the path, liberation, which is not only for ourselves, but for all those who are seeking. We are united in a group, and because of this, an uninterrupted twofold magical directedness develops. Consequently, this current is maintained, and as the group grows in quality, in inner deepening, and especially in group unity, at a given moment a turbulence of electromagnetic power comes into being that is generated by the inverse polarization of the group. In this way, a force field comes into being. By the continued activity of the twofold magical ministration, a gradually increasing sevenfold division of this force field takes place, and at a given moment, the seven spirit is manifested. So it is of utmost importance that we, as a group, link ourselves to the fundamental current of the Gnosis. This is achieved by group unity. To the extent the group expands and increases in quality, some of the group will always be calling and binding the Gnostic current. While they are doing so as conscious partners of the group and with their work vivify it, that which they evoke is always for the benefit of the whole and consequently for all those who are taken up in the group. The enormous advantage of the group unity will now be evident to you. It is out of the question that a nature-born man can direct his attention uninterruptedly on the Gnosis. One has so much to do for the preservation of the ordinary daily things that there are moments when one has to slacken the concentration on the Gnosis. But in the group, the Gnosis remains connected with the partners because, while some of them have to let go, there are others who continue the work. Thus we work for each other in the service of mankind. When you place yourself with your entire being in the group unity, you work with each other for the aim of the school. Perhaps you will understand the value of an appropriate organizational plan by which the mystic magical directedness and the philosophic magical ministration will be able to find the channel in which to continue unhindered. How glorious and indispensable it is that we have our temples, centers, and conference places. How self-evident it is that attention is directed towards the maintenance of the school, and that we continuously keep our eyes open for the possible needs and desires that might appear in the work. It will have become clear to you now why we must continually take care in the school that those who are taken up in the group take part completely in the twofold magical ministration. All of us should experience our pupilship completely, for the spiritual apparatus of the work is extremely sensitive. In the past years, we have been enabled by that twofold activity to create a magnetic body into which we all are admitted and where an active seven spirit exists. Suppose we should slacken our attention so that a growing number of mere contemplators and dialectically directed people were formed in the school, then such a group of negative people would represent a great danger in the magnetic field of the school. This group would exercise a certain gravitation, and the Holy Spirit would leave the living body. First of all, the magnetic field would change back into an ordinary force field, and then the fundamental touch of the force field would no longer be present, so that we would return again to the ordinary state of being of the world. This is what happens when a spiritual movement goes downhill. Perhaps you will have wondered sometimes, when such a case drew your attention, how it was possible that an established spiritual movement, having reached its prime, suddenly went downhill and fell back with great speed to become an emptied group, an empty form with club regulations and nothing else, so that only a spiritual movement in name remained. Well, this is due to the fact that the spiritual tension which evoked the power and concentrated it around the working field disappeared. The vigilant attention slackened, and all that was once obtained flowed away. This is why we should continually see to it that there are no pupils who are in the school in name only. This is why over the years we have sent the half-hearted pupils away from the school as quickly as possible. This is why it is also our duty to see that no struggle or disharmony appears from within. For if disharmony, rivalry, and all the well-known dialectical miseries develop in the school, the magnetic body is damaged. Then the quality deteriorates, and soon there is no longer a magnetic body. For the same reason, it has always been our duty to remove from the school as soon as possible anyone who wanted to be in the school only to serve himself. Such a person is a danger, however friendly, loving, and civilized he may be. Rather, a so-called uncivilized man who stands devotedly in the field of the school than 1,000 so-called civilized persons who damage the magnetic body. The latter show a form of refinement which is much more uncivilized and dangerous than the bourgeois ill-breeding. If you understand all of this, then as far as your vigilance for the well-being of the magnetic body is concerned, we are on the right path. For then all of us will be attentive like hawks that the whole remains fully intact. As soon as a Gnostic force field reveals itself as the seven spirit, an entirely new fundamental Gnostic stream is liberated in the world. That is a glorious and magnificent aspect. The magnetic fundamental Gnostic stream, which was active in this world until recently, was that of the classical Rosicross, to a lesser degree that of the Brotherhood of the Cathars, and to a still lesser degree that of the Brotherhood of the Manichaeans. To the extent a magnetic body progresses in development, the seven spirit will radiate accordingly in an ever higher vibration. Therefore, it will appear to be less capable of intervening in a helping and calling way in the life of the inhabitants of this world. The radiations of the classical Rosy Cross and the even older Brotherhoods are more and more unsuited to display a calling activity in this nature because their respective magnetic fields progress ever further. They achieve an ever higher degree of refinement and consequently journey further away from us. That is why new groups will have to take over the task of the older groups ever again. That is why new possibilities must be created for the night dwellers to walk the path of salvation. That is why we are so glad that now the modern spiritual school possesses a sevenfold magnetic body. A new horizontally directed Gnostic current is revealed by it that is very well suited to serve the calling work of the Gnosis. By our twofold magic service, a new radiation field of the Holy Spirit is born for the seeking men of this age. With this statement, the mystery of salvation is not exhausted by a long way. Our collective sensitivity increases to the same extent that we, as a group, form a new magnetic vehicle in which the Seven Spirit is sanctifyingly active for all of us. Consequently, we form a new link in the Gnostic chain, and so we undertake a journey progressing in a process of radiation refinement. As in the past years, we appeared to be extremely sensitive to the touch of the Gnostic Rosy Cross, to the Brotherhood of the Cathars, the Manichaeans, and that of the Essenes, we progress in the magnetic body and increase in a degree of refinement. Therefore, we are also increasingly open to higher, still more refined plenitudes of radiation. As a result, a new higher octave of development takes place and a new day of manifestation opens itself before us. We have hardly experienced the dawn of maturity of the new magnetic body, when a new day of growth and unfolding awaits us. In this way, we continue step by step, and the blessings, which are the result of the twofold magical service, will never become exhausted. Behind every blessing, another one is hidden.